Grateful of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our present class is on homosexuality. I just want to tell you that at 5 o'clock, we'll be having Mass in the convent chapel. So 38, we should start with 38. The previous question, 37, is crucial because it is one thing to speak of homosexuality. It is something else to understand the moral responsibility for the practice of homosexuality. And that is why the Catholic Church distinguishes between homosexuality, first, as a tendency, secondly, as an attraction, and thirdly, as an activity. The tendency is in every human being. Homosexuality is a sinful tendency. But as fallen human beings, having lost the gift of integrity, we therefore have what we call concupiscence. Every one of the seven capital sins are so many capital sinful tendencies. Homosexuality as a tendency is the sinful tendency of the capital sin of lust, which, I repeat, the tendency is in every human being. And of course, what is sinful about it, apart from other factors, is that it is a sexual urge, a drive towards and with a person of the same gender. I try to distinguish between gender and sex when I talk this language. Before the fall of our first parents, neither Adam nor Eve had these seven sinful tendencies. Once they fell, they lost what we call the gift of integrity, not just for themselves, but for all their offspring. And baptism does not hear it. Baptism does not remove those sinful tendencies. What baptism does is provides us with the grace we need to resist the tendencies. Now, Fate, what is homosexual tendency? In any person, it is with the normal range of human nature. As you have been saying, our fallen condition includes every kind of impulse, whether morally good or morally bad. That is why the moment you hear or read or see the word pro-choice, say a prayer, because we have desires in every direction. We can choose, and that, by the way, is good to hear. In theology, there are three main functions of the human will. The first function of the human will is to desire. The second function of the human will is to choose. And the third function of the human will is to love. Now here, the desire for sexual pleasure. The desire for sexual pleasure is part of not just our fallen nature, it was part of the nature of Adam and Eve before they lost, well, their state of grace. Unless men and women had sexual desires, who would ever marry? Unless we had the natural tendency to eat and drink, who would bother wasting time lifting an object to the orifice called the mouth, opening the mouth and swallowing that object? We must have a desire to eat. So we must have a desire for sexual pleasure. However, back to where we were. After the first parent sin, they lost the built-in control. It was called a preternatural gift. Preternatural gift that God gave our first parents. So they would desire, Adam would desire only to have relations with, first of all, a woman. And secondly, and the wife. But once our first parents sinned, all those seven, what we call capital sins, which are seven capital tendencies, are all out of control. All of them. We may therefore have a sexual inclination towards persons of the same or opposite gender to our own. And notice sexual inclination. Our inclination towards persons of another gender is called heterosexual, which is simply the Greek another, heteros, and for the same homos. Homos refers to the same, heteros refers to a different, another gender or sex than our own. Our inclination towards persons of the same gender is called homosexual. As I've just described, the two words or prefixes homo and hetero represent in Greek hetero, another, and homo, the same. With sincere efforts and divine grace, the homosexual impulse can be controlled. Everyone, has a homosexual tendency. Everyone. In some it is stronger than in others. And living in our society, and this is, there are many other evils to sex education. In my judgment, one of the worst. And this is, well, sex education, like the New Creation series. Big, shiny imprimatur. And every so often, pious words, the Bible quoted. But, in my judgment, the single most devastating feature of sex education, which is so widespread, including in Catholic schools, is that from the earliest grades, the children are taught that there are people who are, well, homosexual, and others who are homophobic. And those who are homophobic are persons with a psychological disorder. And when the Holy See told me to analyze, it was a new creation series. I spent several months analyzing 16 books, 8 textbooks, and 8 teacher's manuals for sex education in Catholic schools. Spent several months, read everything. Send pages to the Vatican in my analysis. I was personally thanked by the Holy Father's secretary. Thanked also by, well, the cardinal, whose position it was to find out what these sex education books are. But then, I was told by the Vatican to publish this analysis. I could not find a Catholic publisher who was willing to publish what I wrote. Do you hear me? Because the homosexuals, oh, what a mild word. They hate those who oppose them. They are very destructive. Question 39. What is homosexual attraction? Homosexual attraction is for members of the same sex. Now this note is stronger than the tendency. In other words, the tendency is part of our nature, fallen nature. The attraction goes beyond that. An attraction for persons of the same sex. Notice sexual attraction may be partly due to the peculiar makeup of certain individuals. Notice I use the word maybe. I'm not sure it is. Psychologists say it is. More often, however, it is the result of either indiscretion or seduction. Indiscretion on the part of a person who imprudently, indiscreetly reads about homosexuals, goes to homosexual movies, and by the way, they are now part of the public movie trade. Do you know that? And there is long, laudatory praise of a homosexual movie presently being shown. I will not identify the diocese, not too far away. The Catholic Weekly for that diocese. Long, raving praise of that homosexual movie, urging Catholics to attend that movie. And the homosexual network is very powerful, widespread, and has penetrated the advertising industry to the billions of dollars. Psychologists know what kind of advertising is homosexually seductive. I repeat, so the attraction can be the result of indiscretion or seduction. Now, over the years of my priesthood, I have and I do work with people who want to overcome their homosexual, not just tendency, but practice. It's not easy. And especially difficult to break with the homosexual network. However, only God knows what the percentage is, whether it's more on the side of indiscretion or on the side of seduction. But in my judgment, a large And maybe the larger part of homosexuality is a result of seduction. Over the years, I both study the question, have written on the subject, have counseled, and I know of no homosexual, active homosexual, who is not a seducer. Am I clear? I know of none. And the danger is beyond description. Because, say, two young men, two boys, two young women, or for that matter, two older women, come to befriend one another. And of course, the lesbian woman will not tell the woman that she's befriending, "You may not know, but I'm a lesbian." They're too shrewd. Seduction is widespread. And once you're seduced, then what had been merely a tendency becomes not just an attraction, but then can become a homosexual activity. In my work for the church, I think I can say this much. My last trip to Rome about a month ago was on just this subject. The widespread homosexuality in professedly Catholic circles, and so much of it is the result of seduction. And by now we all know, involving both the laity and religious and the priesthood. And once you're seduced, it's at least as hard to overcome the seduction as it is, say, to get over a drug habit or alcoholism. And part of the problem is, I repeat, the shrewdness, the merciless pressure applied by active homosexuals, especially against those who want to overcome their habit. Once again, this too is not by itself, even the attraction is not by itself sinful. In fact, it may be an occasion for great supernatural merit. And when the condition is pathological, it requires therapy, but always consistent with the basic principles of Christian morality. And let me tell you, and again the result of years of counseling, where a person has developed a homosexual attraction, and more still, has got into homosexual practice. When I say it may require therapy, there are very few psychologists or psychiatrists that you can entrust either yourself or someone else to recommend. Because the American Psychiatric Association, as I'm sure you know, for the first time in human history, a national, association of psychiatrists has declared that homosexuality is not pathological. It is natural. And I trust that these classes are not just, you might say, pious speeches. A widely used book, used in colleges, used in seminaries. I know the author, a Catholic priest, NIH. Just what I've said, the Psychiatric Association declared, is in this book, telling Catholics that some people with a homosexual tendency, and the word they use is orientation, that people with a homosexual orientation do not have, I'm quoting, do not have voluntary control over that orientation. And that is a demonic lie. And I have to say this, when you have a Catholic bishop, and more than one, publicly, not just defending, but, dare I say, promoting homosexuality. There's only one comment I can make. My God. Who is a Catholic anymore? Whom can you trust? And when people say, why doesn't Rome do something? Why doesn't the Pope do something? I can assure you, he's doing everything in not just his human, but I would say his divinely authorized power. When a bishop is told by the Pope to resign from his diocese, and the bishop refuses to resign, what does the Pope do? Well, send half a dozen Swiss armed guards. What is homosexual activity? Number 40. Homosexual activity is sexual relations between two or more persons of the same gender. Notice two or more persons. Because there are two kinds of homosexuality. And this is one of the biggest lies among those who promote homosexuality, that it is a manifestation of love. My eye has my right eye, which is blind. There are two kinds of homosexuality, selective and promiscuous. Selective, where there are just two men or two women, but promiscuous, where there can be a countless number. Never thought I'd use this word, especially in public, not being taped. They're homosexual prostitutes. We continue. It is the constant teaching of the Catholic Church, based on divine revelation and Christian tradition, that homosexual activity is morally indefensible. The reasons for this are founded on the revealed truth. Know the revealed truth. That sexual experience is divinely reserved to husband and wife in their marital relations. That is an article of divine revealed faith. Those who even doubt this, not to say deny it, are all heretics. And a heretic, this is, again, our faith. A heretic has lost the virtue of faith. A heretic no longer believes anything that God has revealed. Even though he may, or she may, only doubt or deny a single revealed truth. The very word homosexuality is a modern invention. For over 3,000 years, homosexuality was called what? Sodomy. And of course, when you hear sodomy, you think of Sodom and what?
Gomorrah.
And Gomorrah. You know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? And that is what is happening to the United States. The only question is when our nation will be destroyed. Moreover, as we shall see, homosexual activity is destructive of the very foundations of human society. And as we go on, I will share more with you. As one reason why I've given you so many pages on homosexuality, and I thought we should spend the time we did on imitating Christ in his virtues practice in the Blessed Sacrament. 41. Why did the Holy See issue a special document on homosexuality? In 1986, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith published a document on, quotes, the pastoral care of homosexual persons. Reason I will abbreviate, always as HP. The number after the HP is a section from which the document was taken. What section of the document? The reason was, for this document, the widespread dissemination of ideas and assertions inconsistent with the teaching of the Catholic Church. And by the way, the answers then, wherever I quote documents, the answers are either verbatim or paraphrased from the document. Since then, these erroneous opinions have become more devastating than ever before in the history of Christianity. That's a large statement. In other words, sodomy is now established in one country after another, with, as the Church tells us, devastating consequences, first of all, to the family. But then, what happens to the person who practices homosexuality? I know. It just destroys their character. And the shrewder they are, the more they will be able to mask their homosexuality and acquire high places in the state, and I'd rather die than say this, and even in the church. Short answer. What is the basis for the Catholic teaching on homosexuality? And notice, it's twofold. It is both human reason and divine revelation. By the way, if any of you, me and I, have asked this of you before, if any of you find a dictionary, and the more modern dictionary the better, English dictionary, which, in defining a lesbian, tells you where the word comes from. Remember, I told you, didn't I? From the island off the coast of Greece. And that's around 300 B.C. And so many women have become lesbians. And the Greek government said, this can't go on. It'll destroy the nation. So they rounded up all the homosexual women in Greece. And I'm told it was a big ship full of women. And shipped them to an island called Lesbos. L-E-S-B-O-S. And, of course, armed guards to prevent those women from coming back to the mainland of Greece. I repeat, if you can find anything suggesting that lesbian comes from that exile island of Lesbos, please let me know what dictionary has it. All the dictionaries I've looked at no longer has that. For a very obvious reason. Consequently, there are two sources for our knowledge of homosexuality and its moral character. There are two sources, namely reason and revelation, because most people would not normally be able to recognize the moral sinfulness of homosexuality by reason alone and hear it. If there is one thing that sin does, oh, this is priceless. It's not my invention. If there's one thing that sin does, all sin is darken the mind. And the deeper the sinner, the more deeply steeped in sin, the more that person's mind is darkened. Darkened from what? Darkened from knowing the truth. And they can be very intelligent. And their intelligence will mask their stupidity. The most dangerous people on earth are the educated sinners, the PhDs in our universities, who are either unbelievers or living a sinful life. Just a word of comment. We speak of divine revelation on two levels. God revealed what He wants us to know, either because, unless He had revealed it, we would not have been able to know the truth that God wants us to know. And these truths that God wants us to know that are not knowable by human reason, we call mysteries. A mystery is defined as that which the human mind cannot conceive before revelation and cannot comprehend even after revelation. You comprehend means fully understand. That's a mystery. Like what? Like the Trinity. Like what? Like the real presence. However, God has also revealed truths that are knowable by the human mind, but because of our sinful condition, darkened by sin, many people would find it hard to come to the knowledge. Thus, what is the fifth commandment of the Decalogue? Thou shalt not
kill.
Thanks. Thou shalt not kill. Is that commandment knowable by reason alone? Yes. Sheer logic. I don't want somebody else to kill me, so my reason tells me I should not kill another person. we begin to see how darkened the human mind has become in a country like ours. And murder is now not just legalized, as I tell audiences, legislated. God then also reveals, besides mysteries, He reveals truths that are knowable by human reason. But given the weakness of human nature, given the darkness of the human mind, weakened by sin, God, thus, all 10 commandments are knowable by reason. All ten. Why did God reveal the 10 commandments? Because, and the chosen people, oh no, not the chosen people. Yes, they needed the 10 commandments. Question 44. By the way, if I may just interrupt for a moment, I would like to answer as many questions as I can. If I knew how many were coming, I could then determine my lecture accordingly, because we're dealing with a subject that is crucially important. So you pass the box around so I know what's coming off. They're asking, what are the rational grounds for understanding the sinfulness of homosexuality? The rational grounds are the harm caused to human society by the practice of homosexuality. And notice the harm caused to human society. Because God gave all of us a sexual instinct, a inclination to want sexual experience, but this same God has prescribed that this sexual experience may, and all the verb, may be had only between the husband and the wife in their own relationship as husband and wife. And this is the basis for the destruction of the human family. It is not commonly known, I won't dwell on the subject, but Karl Marx, in my judgment, was the principal modern agent of the breakdown of the human family through, watch it, through two ideologies, feminism and homosexuality. And those two go together. If there's one thing that feminism teaches, it is that men, masculine gender, are natural oppressors of women. And what we call the family was an invention of men, again, masculine gender, to lord it over, control, enslave women. And that is why, where feminism grows, homosexuality follows. If there is one thing that our nation needs, it needs many things, but one thing it needs is selfless, loving, generous women. Over the centuries, this has been the divinely ordained way of teaching men, masculine gender, what true selfless love means. Either women teach it, or it will not be known. When does death occur? Brain dead? Heart stops? No. Brain death is an invention of the medical profession. Theologically speaking, death occurs only when the soul leaves the body. Or again, but now on a physiological level, when the body begins to decay. A person apparently dead can still be alive. We now can prove scientifically up to 8 hours after brain death. When the heart stops, circulation stops, up to 8 hours. What is the connection between feminism and homosexuality? Well, I briefly explained it. This is especially homosexuality among men. In other words, we all have, all of us, the deepest need that we have is loved. The stronger desire, the strongest desire we should have is to love. Am I clear? And God has created two genders. And each gender is to teach the other. Having raised, as I've said how many times, the age of 1 to the age of 16, my father died when I was a year old. Mother took in women boarders. Raised in an all-women household for 15 years. More than once I thought of writing a book. What I know about women. And I know a lot. But, and in fact, sometimes people ask me, my own Jesuit John, how do you do it? He retreats to women. 8 days, another retreat, more women. How do you do it? Well, I've been trained. And I really believe the Lord, in his own mysterious providence, arranged it that way. And the one thing that men, masculine gender, need to learn is selfless love. And the principle, divinely providential, means of teaching men, masculine gender again, the meaning of selfless love is women. Am I making sense? Oh, well, these women better be authentic, shall I say it, honest to God women, and not feminists. Sacred Heart Devotion, better known than it is now. Is the Sacred Heart Devotion better known? Oh, pardon me. Will God spare the nation if the faithful Catholics do reparation for the sins of others? You better. Reparation. At the closing of the National Convention of the Institute of Religious Life in Chicago, I offer the Mass. And then gave the homily. And I told the audience there at Mass that religious should look at our religious life as a reparation. These are the good religious. As a reparation for, well, all the mavericks. All the unfaithful religious. One community, the Archdiocese of Detroit. One community. He wrote then to Cardinal Dearden and gave him a list of the 31 parish schools they were leaving that fall. Is it any wonder we've closed over 40 parishes in this diocese? So yes, reparation. Is a practice of chastity in our personal life reparative? Oh, thanks for the question. Yes. I swear, chastity in our own lives is a powerful means of expiating, making reparation for, obtaining both mercy for homosexuals and obtaining the light which they lack to see what they are doing is contrary not just to the will of God, but is unjust to human society. Should the Sacred Heart devotion be better known than it is now? Oh, indeed, indeed. And the Society of Jesus. Has now in its rule of life to promote devotion to the Sacred Heart and not just a devotion as a form of piety, but to understand that devotion. And a good synonym for devotion to the Sacred Heart is devotion to the Holy Eucharist.